This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the February 21st edition of Invest Talk. And I'm pretty happy to have this conversation on radio with all the podcast subscribers out there every weekday. I think it's one of the very few podcasts that includes its audience in the conversation. Now, if you call between 4 and 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday, we can have a live conversation if you want. Our goal is above average investing for the average investor. When it comes to investing, being above average means not making costly mistakes that plagues most of the people out there, most of the average investors. Avoiding costly mistakes is really important and can make a significant difference on the performance of your portfolio. But first and foremost, I'm here to try to answer your questions. So let's get to our 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART. Here's a question that came in before today's program.
Good afternoon, Justin and Steve. This is Andrew from San Diego. Love the show. Hey, guys, I just got a question about Dave & Buster's. Ticker symbol is PLAY, P-L-A-Y. I was thinking about picking a little bit up at these levels. Don't know what your take is on it. I would love to hear your thoughts. Looking for holding it for, fairly long term, anywhere from two multiple years. I appreciate your help and look forward to hearing from you. Have a good day.
Okay, Dave and Buster's. I don't know if you've been to one. I have. Operates 92 restaurants featuring casual dining and arcade-style games across the United States and Canada. They're going to make $2.59 a share this year. That's up 23% from last year, then $2.83 next year, 2019. It's a $45 stock. So it's going to make $2.83. Okay, so that means the P.E. is what, 17 or so? And the five-year P.E. range is 18 to 47. So it's right at its lower range. Sales growth was in the teens, but the most recent quarter went down to only 9%, growth of only 9%. And that sales growth is still there, but why the stock fell from 72 down to 45 is probably because of the softening of the sales growth. Profits are still going to go up, but when you're dealing with a growth stock and growth starts to slow, not stop, just slow, the stock will go down. Now the question, is this a good price to pick it up? It certainly looks like about $45.50 to $44.50 to $45, which is where it is right now, $45, is a strong support. I might wait for it to break above maybe the 10-day moving average or the 20-day moving average. Pick one of those moving average, maybe the 20, which is at $46.55, so it's not very far, before you buy. I'm thinking you want to buy on strength. You want to see some strength come into it, but this is the price level where you would be a buyer. And this is Dave & Buster's. PLAY, P-L-A-Y, is the symbol. Is there anything negative about it? Well, no. Return on equity is pretty good, 23%. Mutual funds are slowly buying it. Management owns 4%. It's a $1.8 billion company. PLAY, P-L-A-Y. Today was another reminder that the market goes in both directions. Did you see it? You probably don't watch it like I watch it. But the market shot up, and then, let me rephrase that. It moved up strongly at the opening and continued to be up, and then shot up when the Fed meeting's minutes were released, and then at the end of the day it crashed. So it was up like 253 points or so and ended up being down 166 points on the Dow. So it's just the way it's going to be. I'm trying to remind you to focus on buying only fundamentally strong stocks. The companies that have pulled back that look really good, the companies that you and I have been talking about, and I kept saying wait for a pullback, we're getting those pullbacks. A company with a solid balance sheet, stable products and services, those kinds of companies. Some of the specific fundamental numbers we like are return on equity of 17% or higher, low or no debt, and growth in both sales and earnings. You know, I repeat this every day, these kinds of things. There are many other numbers also to analyze, and you probably don't have the time or the inclination to do all of them, but you can do the basics. You know, every company has its own different characteristics. For instance, you generally want to own a company with low or no debt, right? But that makes no sense when you're talking about a bank. They borrow money and then lend it. Or a REIT, Real Estate Investor Trust, they borrow money and buy properties. But any other kind of companies, debt might be a very bad thing to have. You've got to look at the individual stock and its industry. I also like growth rates of company to be higher than the relationship to the P/E ratio. That's what I like. However, large blue chip stocks have trouble growing, so you may not find that. Smaller companies can be very high, the GPE, growth to the price earnings ratio. So you first need to understand the kind of stock you're looking at, you're analyzing, and then analyze it with its peer group. So it will never be easy, guys, and thus far there is no software that can decipher all the nuances and present an investor a short list of stocks, and here you go, buy these. Certainly software can produce a list, but that list needs to be used as a starting point, not a finishing point. Okay, 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. So what else do you want to talk about today? I have 7 costly mutual fund mistakes to avoid, and that's going to be one of our main talking points. How about what are the twin deficits means to the dollar and the Fed? Twin deficits. What am I talking about? Well, we'll discuss it. And 5 gas mileage myths that are wasting your money, and types of computer trading. There are 3 basic types of computer trading. They are not the same, but everybody uses computer trading as a catch-all for everything, and that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. So I'm going to talk about the 3 types of computer trading that's out there. Now, the market was down today. It ended up being down 166 points for the Dow, down 16%, 16 points for the NASDAQ, and 15 points for the S&P 500. And every one of those indexes were up for most of the day and up big at one point during the day. So it turned around toward the end of the day. It did not like whatever. There was no reason. Whatever reason it decided, it didn't like it and just took profit. Now, I've told you that I don't think our correction is over with, and I still don't think so. You know, the market has rebound nicely from the lows it made, but the correction itself has not run its whatever it's going to do, it hasn't run its course. It's just not done yet. It had a pretty nice rebound from a low, and that rebound, if you know anything about the Fibonacci numbers, looked pretty close to me. Of a normal rebound. Now you have to see. This week would kind of tell us this week, and what's telling us so far is it's not sure. This week is down for the week so far, but it only had Tuesday and Wednesday. Monday was a holiday. So we got tomorrow and Friday to tell us something, and next week might even be more instructive, but I just don't think we're over. We haven't finished the run of the correction. Might be, though. That's the trick about all this. No one really knows. We can. You know, all I can do is I compare it with a normal correction, and then we haven't seen normal in a number of years. But I just don't think we're done. Just don't feel like we're done with it to me. This is Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Fed seems to be the Fed seems to worry greatly about inflation as it's creeping higher. So what does that mean to you, to us? Maybe you're wondering how that may impact the mix of bonds and stocks and so forth in your portfolio. We can talk about that. 888-99-CHARTER, how to get through right now. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, Steve. Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Kraft Heinz, KHB. You think it's a good time to buy some?
Let's see. Kraft Heinz Company. Isn't that a Warren Buffett company that he likes? Didn't he buy a bunch of
that? That's
right. A while back. Yeah, so it's a Warren Buffett kind of company. I think it's too early to jump in yet because it's still falling. So you want to wait till it stops falling. But let's take a look at, you know, Kraft Heinz makes food products, beverages, cheese, convenient meals with grocery products sold worldwide. Huge company, $82 billion in size. They're going to make $3.97 this year. That's up about 9%. And then $4.11 next year, up another 6%. Very nice dividend, 3.7%. Sales growth is flat. There's really no sales growth. It's a big blue chip stock. So you're buying it, Bobby. You really want to buy it for the dividend. You hope to get some capital appreciation, but to do that, you need to buy it when it's cheap. Now, your question is it cheap enough? And I'm going to say not quite yet. I think you need to see it go sideways first. It's getting close. This is a correction you should buy. I'm saying you buy this correction. But I don't think I'd jump in right now. The PE is around 19, and next year it's going to be around 18. And the five-year at range is 13 to 167. So 13 is it's really low. I like it. I like it because it's giving you a buy point here. But I think it's just a bit early, Bobby, okay? Just wait till it turns sideways for like 4 or 5 days. It's not going to just shoot up on you. It's not. So you don't have to worry about that. Thanks, Bobby. I appreciate the call. Let's talk to Steve in San Francisco. How you doing, Steve?
Good. Very good. Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about a Fidelity ETF. The symbol is FTEC. And I was wondering if it's good to invest in for the next 6 years and if this is a good time to get into it.
Okay, this is the Fidelity Miscellaneous Information Technology Fund, an ETF, exchange-traded fund, seeking results corresponding to the USA Information Technology Index. So you're investing, obviously, in technology, and I'm pretty sure for 5 or 6 years, this I'm pretty positive this will go up. It would be very rare for it not to. We'd have to have a deep recession that lasts for 2 or 3 years. And I don't think that's happening. You're going to treat this just like it's a whole index, and you're buying the index. This happens to be just technology, so it'll be more volatile, but it's still buying an index. So you want to buy this if it retests the lows around $48 a share or breaks above the highs about $54 a share. Don't buy it here. Wait for either a breakout or a pullback, okay? Because a breakout means it's on a run, and I don't know how high it's going to go. A pullback means, well, we're back to, as I said earlier, I just don't think we're done with our overall pullback, and this will pull back with it, and then that's when you want to jump in, okay?
Okay,
appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. What do baby boomers fear most? For some, it's not death. It's run out of money. There's fear of reduction of Medicare and Social Security. Can we help you plan for life's eventualities? I'm a baby boomer. Let's talk about it. This is Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART. Okay, well, so here are some of the mistakes that you can avoid, and they can be pretty costly when you buy mutual funds. The mistakes to avoid in buying mutual funds. One of them is mutual fund investing. Mistake number one is index funds investing. Now, you've heard me say I think it's a good idea. But you have to understand how the indexes are made up. It's the S&P 500. We all know about the S&P 500, 500 largest companies, right? It's Vanguard has its S&P 500 is one of the largest with $100 billion. It's the largest mutual fund in the world. But it's not the safest index, nor is it the best performing index. For instance, during the tech bear market. Investors lost more than $40 billion with that fund. A little more than 18% of the fund's assets are tied up in just 10 stocks. And more than half of it is in just 25 stocks. Three sectors. See, so you got to be really careful if you're thinking you're buying the whole market. Yeah, you are. But there's parts of the market that influence it much bigger than other parts. Number two, jumping into mutual funds that are already ran up. The best performing mutual funds of the last year, the year before. Those are not the best performing mutual funds of this year or the next year. Generally, they're not. They can be, it's just rare. Okay, not knowing the fund's risk potential, how much risk it carries. It's hard for you to figure this out. It's really hard. You can get some help from Morningstar.com, but how much risk are you actually taking? Morningstar.com has a couple of bars that tells its average return for one bar and the average risk for another bar. So you can say, well, it takes above average risk for average returns or below average return or above average risk for above average return. At least it helps you tell you what kind of risk you're taking. Mistaking efficient tax funds that are taxed efficiently and they manage to be tax friendly as profits. They may lose money. You don't mistake, just because the fund is managed to be tax efficient, certainly doesn't mean it's going to make you any money. So don't confuse that. And you have to be very careful about performance numbers from mutual funds because they never lie. They always tell the truth. But they pick the time frame in which they want to talk about performance. Okay? For instance, and how they talk about it. So, for instance, they could say, our funds and our mutual fund family have performed 18% last year. Well, how many mutual funds are in there, and what do they track? Did you close any mutual funds, and you're not counting the worst performers because they no longer exist? Or they could just pick a last 18 months, we had the best performance. Our performance was 18%. Why 18 months? Which 18 months? So you got to be really cognizant of how they're doing that kind of stuff. Anyways, those are some of the things you need to be thinking about. I'm not going through all of those things. There is an article on our website that you can refer to of all the little things that mutual funds do. And just try to remember, it's your job to do your due diligence. They put out that perspective, and it's all that fine print, and no one wants to read it. Trust me, it's no fun reading. I've read many of them, and they're not fun reading. And it tends to put you to sleep, but you kind of need to know what they're doing. You kind of need to know what it is that you're buying. Remember, you're putting your hard-earned money into this. So just be cognizant of what you're doing. Let's try another voicemail, 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Steve, Justin, this is Richard in Biloxi, Mississippi. I had a question about an ETF. I haven't done much with them. It's a Vanguard Emerging Market. It's V as in Victor, W as in William, zero. I'd like to know if this is a good one, and I see that it pays a dividend. Does it pay like a stock every 3 months? Does it pay it to the person that holds it? I'll be listening to your podcast. Thank you.
Well, first of all, the dividend is paid to the dividend holder. You, if you own this, you get the stockholder. In this case, the ETF holder. This is Vanguard's Emerging Markets. If you want to be in the emerging markets, Vanguard's a very low-cost fund family, and this is a good way to get in emerging markets. As a part of your portfolio, I see nothing wrong with it. It pays a 2.2% dividend. But, you have to decide how much you want to be, but never put, any one sector, I like no more than 15, 17%. In emerging markets, it's even more volatile, maybe 10%. That would be my suggestion. Coming up on the next Invest Talk, what's wrong with bond funds? That's one of our topics on the next Invest Talk. For now, you can drive the discussion yourself. We're live. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. One of the main lessons for investors in 2008, stop trying to time the market. How many people got out and then stayed out, waiting for that correction that never came? Steve and the staff at KPP Financial employ the latest investing technology, guided by years of experience in finding opportunities and moderating risk for their clients, investing right along with their clients. KPP didn't get out of the market in 2008. They were defensive, but they stayed with the market. Long term, that's the safest place to be. That's the main lesson. If you'd like help with the ins and outs of today's market, look at the series of investment programs for all life situations from KPP Financial. Just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. Now let's get back to our podcast. This is InvestTalk. A sound and well-reasoned portfolio mix is more important than any one stock buy. Tell us about the makeup of your portfolio. If you're ready for a second opinion, our anytime number is 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Love the show. This is Eric. I had a question about a stock called Enbridge. E as in Eric, N as in Nancy, B as in boy. I just purchased it at around $34.30 for my SEP IRA. And I was looking to just buy it and hold it for a while. It dropped a little bit recently, but I really want to buy it for the dividends. So I was wondering what you guys thought about this stock and then a long-term hold and just to collect dividends and have that built. Looking forward to hearing your answer on the podcast. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Enbridge Inc., it's a Canadian company engaged in distribution of gas to 2 million customers on Ontario, Quebec, New Brunswick. It's going to make $1.99 next year, $1.83 this year. It's a $34 stock, so it was at 17-18 PE, and the range is 11 to 31, and pays a 6% dividend. And it's, you know, it's a very, it's a boring kind of stock. Canadian company in distributing gas, natural gas. Okay, so it's going to be very solid, good cash flow, not too much debt. Sales growth is probably going to be pretty small, but right now it's about 8-9% per quarter. But you buy this for the dividend. And the stock has come down to strong support right about where you bought, about $34. So yeah, you could hold this for long periods. You could hold this one. It has gone down as far as about 28, 29. But that was way back in 2015, late 2015 and early 2016 when it fell to that level. Okay, it's the chart is not strong, but you know, it's going to trade sideways most likely. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But it's for a dividend play, it's very good. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So let's talk about the twin deficits. The dollar has been weak, and this is probably why the dollar is weak, and why maybe treasuries are rising, besides the Fed raising the rates. It's because, you know, the U.S., we are adding to our annual deficit and to our debt, okay, with this new budget President Trump has offered. It's going to mean that our deficit annually is going to go up and our debt is going to go up, and that weakens our dollar. It's not, you know, that difficult to understand why the dollar is weak even though our economy is growing very well. Well, that's because we're still spending way more money than we should be. When's the last time we balanced a budget? When? Never. Yeah, is it good to spend on infrastructure? Infrastructure, of course it's good. Not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's adding to our deficit. Our annual deficit. What is our annual budget? What, $13 trillion, something like that? Coming into our, that's the size of our economy. And we can't seem to, we just can't seem to spend what we earn. You know, I tell people individually, spend less than you earn. Our government can't do it. Can't do it. So that's why the dollar is weak. And if you ever want to see the dollar, you want to see the physical representation and know that it's weak, you can look a chart up using the symbol UUP. UUP is the PowerShares U.S. Dollar Index. Okay? UUP. And you can look at the dollar. Put a one-year chart up and you'll see that it's fallen. It had a little run-up from September to November, and then since then it's fallen. Bounced up here a little bit in February, then back down. Now it's trying to bounce back up, but you look at the overall chart, it's weak. And it's probably because of our debt and deficit. We're adding to the debt, we're adding to our deficit. Annual deficit and the U.S. government debt. That's the way it is. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Tony in Antioch. How you doing, Tony? Tony, you there? Yellow. Tony? I don't hear anybody.
Hello?
Tony, are you there? Hi,
yes.
Tony. Go
Hi,
ahead.
Steve?
Yes.
Hello? Yes, I had a question about buying CVS.
Okay, you don't own it, but you want to buy it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's a good buy at this time. It's kind of at its one-year low, but, you know, Amazon's gotten into the drug market now, and everybody's saying that it's over for CVS.
Well, I don't know if you can say it's over for CVS, because Amazon's getting into everything, and they're not going to be an expert on everything. It's just not going to happen. I don't think it's over for CVS. They're going to have competition. They've always had competition. But it's going to be hard for me to believe that their 9,700 pharmacies are all of a sudden going to go away because Amazon's selling drugs. Yeah, I'm not buying it. You can buy drugs online already into certain large facilities across the country, and it still hasn't hurt CVS's business. So I don't think so. The growth rate is going to be slow, 4 or 5% for CVS. It's going to be slow. But they pay a decent dividend of 2.9%. And it's a 10-11 PE, and that's right at the low range. So I think this is probably the area that you want to pick it up, $67 to $68. It's at $68.76 now. It looks like it's trying to put in a double bottom. And don't think it's going to shoot up and make, you know, do great. It's not. You're buying it for some capital appreciation, but also that dividend. And it's a big blue chip stock, which I think Amazon's not going to destroy. So I don't think you need to worry about that too much, Tony. Appreciate the call. CVS, everybody, is a symbol. Of course, you know, it's a, you know, drugstore company. Richard in New Jersey. How you doing, Richard?
I'm doing well. So I listened to your podcast the other day. I called in about Align Technology, and I was going to do NVIDIA, but I was wondering if you could shed some light on Microchip, MCHP.
MCHP? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, Microchip Tech. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm pulling it up. Give me a second to pull it up. I got to type into a couple of keyboards without four pieces of software. So that's why it takes me just a minute. MCHP. Okay, manufactures digital signal microcontrollers, flash memory products, and mixed signal and interface devices. $20 billion company, so it's a big cap company, growing quite fast, 16 to 20% a quarter in the last three quarters. They're going to make $5.43 this year. That was up from $3.99 last year. and then $5.78 next year. So at $84 and a $5.78 stock, that's not an unreasonable price for the growth. That's pretty reasonable, actually, I think. Debt's not too heavy. Good return on equity, 35%. Let's see. Mutual funds are buying over the last year. And management owns 2%. Not too bad. Okay, so you've had a nice pullback in the stock. From 98 down to, 80? And now it's at 84. So it's starting to come back. I think this is where you want to buy it, right in here. I think I would probably wait till it breaks above its 200-day moving average, which is like $86. I think I'd wait for it to break above that because that might be a resistance right now coming up to it.
Okay.
And I would love to see, I'm not sure if the correction is over with, but Tony, Richard, this is the area that you want to pick it up because it had a nice pullback and it's fairly inexpensive. So I kind of like it.
Okay, yeah, it went up to 90. It went up to about 98, I think, and then I guess pulled back. So wait till it gets above that 200-day moving average or breaks through.
Yeah, the 200-day moving average is right around $86. And remember, it's $84.15 right now. So wait for it breaks that, I would get into it. I think that 200-day is going to act as resistance. And then, of course, if it breaks above 98, you know, obviously you got to go with it. But I wouldn't wait for that. It may be too long. If it comes back down and retests the low, which was at 78, intraday low at $78, if it retests it and starts to move off of that, then I'd be a buyer, no question. Okay?
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I'm looking at a chart, everybody. That's what I'm just basing on what charts tend to do. Remember, it's not science. It's just what normally happens. It happens more often than it doesn't. Let's go to Harish in Santa Clara. How you doing, Harish?
You're doing good, Steve. Thank you for taking the call. I have a question about McDonald's. I see that it has actually come down quite a bit with the recent correction. And I hear some news about making some changes to their meals, making them more healthier.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if anything of that has any play here with this stock staying low, or
well, it might be. It's hard to know. Mickey D's, MCD is a symbol, everybody, and you know they have 37,000 stores worldwide. I mean, come on. They're going to open about 900 stores. They opened 900 stores last year. It wasn't here. So that tells you how big this company is. What's interesting is sales have actually fallen. Sales have actually fallen in the last 8 quarters. Not a lot, but it has fallen. So they're trying to turn that around, Harish, the sales. They're trying to figure out a way to turn that around. And they're having trouble doing it. And the stock ran up all last year because everything did, but probably unjustifiable. I think you're going to need, at this point, $158 a share, it's going to make $8.23 next year. That's about, you know, a 20 PE, and the range is 17 to 27. So it's kind of in the middle there. It's not underpriced. It's not overpriced. I think you have to wait, though. It's not showing me on a chart that it's stopped going down yet. You should be bouncing with the rest of the market, but it's not. You know, it's still falling. So I think you need to be patient and wait for it to stop falling. I wouldn't jump into it anytime soon. And it only pays a 2.5% dividend. It's not like it pays a huge dividend. It does not. But, you know, they're trying to turn things around, and until they turn them around, I don't think the stock is going to do much. I just don't think so. Appreciate the call, Harish. Thank you. Mickey D, MCD, everybody. Okay, types of computer trading. Everybody thinks about computer trading and says, it's computer trading. Well, there's three major types of computer trading, and they're very different. First, you have the high-frequency trading. And this is where the computers are trying to front-run large orders that are being put in. So the computers are reading the orders across the world, okay, coming into the Arstall market, and in fractions of seconds, they're trying to buy or sell, short the stock or whatever, just for pennies, and do it fast, microseconds, quick. And then there's the computer traded by using math formulas. How's that? Math formulas. So it's a strategy. They set up these strategies for buying and selling using these formulas purely based on mathematical movements, okay, of the stock. That's very different than trying to front run orders, which is also computer trading. And the third type of computer trading is called just computer trading, and that's where a computer is executing a particular strategy that someone developed and programmed into the computer. That's computer trading. So the strategy could say buy on dips of stocks over $20 billion that fall 3% in one day, buy it, and then sell it once it recovers. I mean, they're unlimited, those kind of computer program trading. And every one of these are are developed by people. So don't think people are not involved in this quote-unquote computer trading. They are. And I don't think it impacts the market as much as some people think it does. I just don't. It can in a very short run, but long run, it really doesn't. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Give me a call. We'll talk about anything financial. I have one more thing I want to discuss today if we can get to it before the end of the show. I don't know if you saw the minutes out from the Federal Reserve. That made the market spike. Did you see that? It spiked up when the minutes were read. And it was because they weren't too worried about inflation. It didn't feel like they were worried about inflation very much, whereas the market has been. But all that went away, and the market ended up being down for the day. I mean, the NASDAQ, remember, the Dow was up 230, 250 points. I mean, a pretty decent size, but it ended up being down 166. Down. And that was in the later part of the day. Now, you know, we're always open for your any money questions you might have, so you can check in now. 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T, 888-99-CHART. Or you can check in after hours as well. It's always the same number. We'll answer the question on the next Invest Talk.
Hi, guys. Daily listener here. Love the show. Learn lots. Thank you for everything you do. I have a question about a stock here. If you could let me know what you feel about it, please. The stock is Okta Corporation. O-K-T-A is the ticker symbol. It's an internet software protection company, I believe it is. Protects against viruses and stuff like that. I believe it's kind of a newer company, so I don't know all the numbers yet. It's just been moving up in price considerably here lately, and wondering if this would be a good buy. Thanks. Look forward to hearing your answers.
Okay, well, it would be very, very speculative. OKTA is the symbol, and it's OKTA Inc. Okta provides foundation for secure connections between people and technology. Secure connections. It's not making any money, never has made any money. It's only been public since March 2017. It came out like at $17, never traded there, by the way. Never traded at $70. The first trade was like $24 or so, and now it's $34. So it's never looked back since then. It's going to lose 86 cents this year per share. It's going to lose 77 cents next year. So obviously they're not making any money. So why is it worth anything? It's a $3.6 billion company. The reason why it's worth money is because its sales growth has never been below 60%. In the last 2 years, per quarter, 61, 63, 67, 80, 80, 91, 103, 165. Going backwards, that's what it's done quarter after quarter after quarter. So that huge growth in sales, obviously, everybody thinks it's eventually going to make money. Management still owns 51% of the company. So they have complete control, and they're the ones that are in the driver's seat. And this would be a speculative stock. It's at a new 52-week high yesterday, down 50 cents today. So you ride the ride as long as it rides. So you could buy it just knowing that it's very speculative and you're buying on the sales growth. And as soon as that sales growth doesn't meet people's expectation, the stock will collapse because there's no earnings to support it. Okay? Okay, TA. I would not buy it because I like to buy companies that make money. That's my thing. I don't buy stocks that don't make money. Now, I do every once in a while try something like this with a small part of our portfolios, but I know it's very, very speculative. Five gas mileage myths that are wasting your money. One, using gasoline additives, none of them work. I mean, they don't think they just make this stuff up. They test them. They don't work. They act like they do, but they don't. Turning off the air conditioner. Okay, it takes extra energy to run the air conditioner, so it makes the engine work harder and burns more gas. That's true. The problem is if you turn off the air conditioner, you'll probably want to open the windows. Well, of course, that eliminates any gain you're getting. That's going to slow the car down and make the car work harder. So that's a myth. Buying fuel-saving gadgets. Some of them even make you use more fuel. None of them work. Overflating the tires. The theory is if you overflate the tires, you know, you make less rubber on the road, and therefore you're using less gas. Yeah, maybe that will work, but then you're going to wear out the tires sooner. And you have less tread on the road for safety. Why would you do that? Makes no sense. Buying gas early in the morning. This is something I never heard about, this one. Liquids become denser at colder temperatures. So buying gas early in the morning when it's cool means you would get more for your money, right? That's not true. Gas is not, that just does not work. And remember, those tanks are buried in the ground. There's not going to be colder or warmer in the morning. They're deep in the ground. Doesn't make sense. Time to wrap it up, everybody. A reminder, I'm meeting in March with individual investors for one-on-one retirement reviews. I'll be in San Jose area on March 14th. If you'd like to reserve your hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I hope it's been worth your hour today. I really do. Justin Klein and I and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.